Hey, it's Melvin, one of your friendly neighborhood podcast hosts. Whether it's your first time tuning in or you're a longtime listener, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever. Reviews are the lifeblood of the podcast world, so if you want to help us out, it'll take only a moment of your time. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy the show. Hey, my name's Melvin, and I like how gum tastes like toothpaste. Welcome, welcome. Yes, thank you for tuning in. Start to this podcast like the opening of a film should really help set your tone, so hopefully you realize I'm just doing this to have a lot of fun. If you're here, you're either a good friend of mine who's just being really polite, thank you for listening, or you're actually kind of interested in what I have to say. So I figure a good way to get things started then is for you to get to know me. I guess you kind of already know my name with the whole toothpaste thing. But when it comes to the film community, a good way to get to gauge where someone's at is what kind of films they're into. So I figure I'll briefly share my top four movies in no particular order. Afterward, I'd like to talk about my aspirations for this project, for Cinematic Doctrine. So the first film I ever really loved was Winding Refn's Drive. It's this art house-y kind of B-movie plot of a film featuring an absolute A-list cast. So much about this film is lovable, right down to the pregnant dialogue and hyper-violence. For those who don't know about it, Ryan Gosling plays Driver, a Hollywood stunt driver who runs illegal driving contracts in the evening under the stipulation that you give him a time and a place, he'll give you a 5-minute window, and anything happens in that 5 minutes and he's yours. Anything happens either side of that and you're on your own. I can't say I completely understood the film the first time I saw it. I was still in high school and by all means I probably shouldn't have seen it until I was older. It was even one of the first Blu-rays I had purchased, to be honest. At this point, I've seen it dozens of times. It always feels fresh and innovative with every experience. There's also a strange, ironic culture surrounding the film that I later learned about, and although it's lathered with jokes, like, toward the film, I think that speaks to its durability. Despite Refn's absolutely absurd filmography featuring archaic and at times pretentious pieces of work, I think Drive's self-induced limitations really speak to a timeless patience, and honestly, it's a film that despite some of its content, everyone should at least experience once. So that's that one. Another one of my favorites is They Look Like People. It's sort of another one of these sort of B-movie-esque psychological thrillers that I've fallen in love with. Wyatt, played by McLeod Andrews, has a premonition that those around him may not be who they say they are. And to make matters worse, he's moved back in with an old friend of his. I'll be the first to admit that this is a flawed film. A lot of its issues arise due to its freshman nature. Perry Blackshear directed, edited, wrote, and pretty much did everything else in production for this film. Occasionally there are brief cracks in the film that speak to a small oversight of working with little to no budget and a budding talent. Despite this, if a single word jumped from the script, I would say it's commitment. It speaks so loudly from the page when you have Blackshear's intense work on the project. You also have these nuanced characters with a real sense of presence and the borderline charismatic nature of the project itself. I can't help but constantly think back to this film and see it as a huge accomplishment, both for Perry and for filmmakers in general. It stands to testament that, well, you know, sometimes it just works out in the end. Then we come to 2018, which released Sorry to Bother You, one of my absolute favorite films from the last few years. And man, it is wild. Surprisingly, it's also my wife's favorite movie from last year. So take that as you will. Lakeith Stanfield plays Cassius Green, a young man interviewing for a position at Regalview. The job? Telemarketing. To make things clear right off the bat, this is probably the most bonkers, hilarious, and adult film in my top four. Boots Riley directs this film with Vonnegut-lensed glasses to a point that's ludicrous in its presentation. There's a mounting sense that the prospects of corporate aspirations run parallel to compromised values. How clever, then, that this film steadily pushes into territory many will find horribly challenging. Now, to really put this film into perspective, I think I should say what one of my coworkers said to me after she had watched the film. Melvin, I absolutely hated this movie. I can't believe it was your favorite film last year. Like, at all. So, yeah, it's not for everybody. And last, but definitely not least, and to anyone who knows me, you'd probably guess this one, Blade Runner 2049 is just one of my favorite movies, period. For brief background, and it's so hard to talk about because you're pretty much spoiling the second you start describing it, but I'll do my best here. LAPD Officer K, played by Ryan Gosling, is a Blade Runner who's tasked with hunting down replicants. They're basically synthetic humans who've gone rogue. However, after retiring a particular replicant, a stream of events begins to unfold that raises more questions than answers. I mean, where do I begin with this one? Should I start with the beautiful composition of every scene? Or perhaps the performances that shatter expectations? Or maybe I could put words to an otherwise indescribable soundtrack. I could even try talking about its intensive tonal focus, or even the ever-present respect it carries for its source material. Look, this film completely floored me on my first watch, and repeated to crush me beneath the soil with each subsequent theater experience. I still yearn for the days when I could buy a ticket, sit in the same theater seat, and watch this film start to finish the way it was meant to be experienced. It's honestly something I'm jealous for, but we can't all be Time Lords, right? And that's that. Those are my current top four, as far as I can tell. They're not likely to change for a while. I mean, I could make room to knock They Look Like People and Sorry to Bother You off, but Drive and Blade Runner, they're going to be around for a while. So what do I want cinematic doctrine to be about? Well, you've probably been hearing the word doctrine in that title and thinking, okay, so is this a Christian podcast then? Well, I think there's a bit more to it than simply describing this as a Christian movie podcast. Let me explain. When I set out to make a movie podcast, I knew an important focus was to separate myself from the rest of the crowd. I don't want to simply sell a product that you can get anywhere else. Sure, you won't get my voice or my thoughts on a certain film, but that doesn't really make what I have to say different. I'd be garnering the same culture all other standard new media movie reviewers have. And that's where Christianity comes in. I'm a Christian, first and foremost, and my primary allegiance is to Christ, and my title will always be Christian, regardless of what I'm doing. Even when I sit down and watch a movie, it's not like I've turned off being a Christian. What I see on the screen and what I take into my heart should always be filtered through what I've come to know through Scripture, both morally and relationally as I've grown in Christ. That can make for a tricky experience with film. Heck, that can be tricky with art in general. So I got to wondering about what other Christians are saying about media, like across the board. What's the Christian community surrounding entertainment discussion? What sort of voice does it have? What do they have in common? And how do they embrace their mediums as Christians? To preface, I think it's important to say that there are people out there doing this pretty well. However, for my own edification, I felt it was prudent to see what I should avoid before indulging this venture. In doing so, I noticed something that seemed rather problematic. There were a lot of Christians talking about media that really didn't know what they were talking about. Sure, they knew about the gospel, and they could easily talk about biblical truths without fear, but simply being proficient in one field doesn't make someone proficient in the other. Unfortunately, you can see the proverbial stretch marks of the author's popcorn-filled ego lace their thinly veiled perspectives on a film solely on their attempts to connect something as absurd as Ant-Man and the Wasp to the creation story of all things. I'm hyperbolizing, of course, but if someone is so interested in creating articles with about as much readability as a soaked newspaper, then perhaps they should do away with the cinematic pretension and write the God's Not Dead cinematic universe. Suffice to say, I believe this can lead to a great disservice. I feel it diminishes both the value of the community outreach and the gospel itself, like building a bridge with toothpicks and driving a U-Haul across it. A civil engineer couldn't get away with that, so why should the gospel be any different? Or rather, how is cinematic doctrine going to be different? Well, for starters, I'm not ignorant to film culture. I love movies. Since 2016, I've watched over 300 different films, be it a short film, horror film, drama, documentary, you name it. There's something I find so exciting and rewarding and attractive about this medium of entertainment and storytelling that I'm always going to the theater for more. But that's just quantity. What about quality? Well, as Christians, when we seek to reach out toward other cultures and communities, it's wise of us to sit at their table and eat. I've taken that to mean learning what it is about these communities that give them the love and passion that they have. But I shouldn't simply seek the subjective joys and understand them. What are some objective qualities that can be applauded at the table? qualities such as cinematography, character theming, director's influence, producer's influence, or even the dreaded studio influence? What about the news leading up to the release? What surrounds the table? What makes up this project as a whole? I could go on, but that doesn't necessarily cover how my understanding of the Bible functions into this. For some background, I went to a Christian high school nearby, and I would say that, although I wasn't explicitly exhibiting a gospel-influenced lifestyle at the time, sometime after I graduated, there was an initial kick in the bum that initiated my pursuit of Christ. It sounds cliche, but I would honestly argue the biggest influence the Lord has used in bringing me to Him was meeting my lovely wife, Catherine. The way in which she loves me has taught me so much about Christ, and honestly, she's just the most wonderful person I've ever met. Suffice to say, I'm thankful that the Lord has provided constant reminders of my need for Him, and I've mentioned before that that doesn't stop when I'm sitting on my couch to watch something on Netflix. I'm living as a Christian every day of my life, and so when I'm working on this podcast, I want it to be clear that while I may not be talking gospel specifics every episode, because I don't want to make stretches for things that are important, I am viewing my life through the pages of Scripture, and how I discuss a film is going to come from that perspective. This, of course, means that if there's something that's just absolutely heinous, I'm going to call that out. But if there's also something really, really wonderful, then I'm going to want to focus on that and explain it and perhaps articulate on the qualities that really make this so good. All right, I'm done. I'm not going to sell myself anymore. It always feels weird to do that anyway. Let me just cover what you can expect with the general structure of this podcast, and we'll be on our way. I'll be covering films across the MPAA, so as a courtesy, I'll be non-explicitly detailing what sort of adult content is a film at the start of an episode. Following this, I'll be making an important focus on my transcripts and notes to be as inoffensive in my descriptions as well. I want to guard your heart, let alone my own, so bear with me on this one as it can sometimes be really difficult. And as an aside, if you're offended by anything I say, please feel free to reach out. I'm not perfect, and I'm eager to humble myself to that. I'll also try to cover most current releases as much as I can. And last but not least, I'll schedule my releases for Wednesday nights. I expect episodes to run 7 to 15 minutes, but if I'm especially excited, it could go longer. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to catch you again. Want some Cinematic Doctrine swag? You're in luck! We've got 3-inch Cinematic Doctrine logo stickers exclusive for Patreon supporters. Perfect for your travel mug or laptop. Head over to patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine, link in the show notes, and choose the independent theater tier. Doing so will net you other perks too. But let's be real, the podcast stickers are the coolest perk. So get yourself some podcast stickers by supporting on Patreon.